Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
He's the former punter of the Baltimore Ravens. He didn't have a choice. They drafted him. The Cleveland Browns and the Arizona Cardinals. He's Mr. Dave Zastadil. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Jeff and Andy. How you doing?
Good. We're doing well, man. Thank you for being with us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Pro Bowl coming up. Before we get to anything else, I can't stand the Pro Bowl, Dave. I'm glad they're not playing, but I don't know that I like all the fun and games and all the other stuff. You like all the other stuff, or Andy and I keep saying, throw a nice banquet and call it a day. What do you think?
Yeah, the Pro Bowl is definitely downgraded significantly. It's still a way for players to get together, have some fun. And the biggest thing is really for the fans, right? There are going to be some fans there that can see, guys they watch on TV and kids that hopefully can get autographs. So it allows the fans still to have a pretty good experience. But I'm sure the players, not all of them, but some of them, probably think it's a waste of time. But I think in general, whenever I, kind of see how they've transitioned the Pro Bowl, all I think about is the little kids and the fans get to see some of the idols up front and maybe get autographs, spend some time with them. And I think that's probably the important part.
All right, big question. Who do you like, Super Bowl?
Oh, man.
Which Kelsey do you like better? That should be the answer to the question.
It's going to be a great game. I've been watching the playoffs, and both teams are really deserving. I think at the end of the day, I think what the Eagles have done consistently throughout the season, it just seems like they really are on a pretty good path to win this thing. I think Jalen Hurts is playing at a high level. They just don't really have a weakness. I think the defense is playing strong. And I just think at the end of the day, if I had to choose one, I'd pick the Eagles. But, I think at the end of the day, it'll be a great game.
It's interesting to me that these two teams were pretty much the teams all year that were sitting on top of their conferences, Dave. And here they are going to the Super Bowl. And for the most part, I really like that. Nobody got knocked off. You're going to see the two teams that kind of dominated things, or at least, were at the top of the heap, go at it in the Super Bowl. And maybe that's the way it should be.
Oh yeah. I was talking with some friends of mine. When you looked at the Final Four, when you had Cincinnati, even going back, you had Buffalo, Cincinnati, Philly, San Francisco, Kansas City. I mean, you had the teams that, look in the records, it was all pretty similar, 12-3, 12-4 at the time. It was a collection of teams that really were consistently playing good football all year. Compared to, obviously we look at the Browns and we saw so much inconsistency throughout the year on game management, on plays that could have been, should have been the Jets game. These are the teams that consistently did what it took to win. And I think what you realize in the NFL, besides having a good quarterback, is the fact that the teams that are consistently playing good football in all three phases are the ones that are going to be there at the end.
Dave, how hard is it to get there? I mean, I look at your career and I think, how many playoff games do you have? One, two?
I only had one. Yeah, 2004.
Yeah.
Gary Anderson beat us on a field goal. I think if it was a 46-yard, he would have missed it, but he made the 45. I'll never forget it.
It's a good thing you forgot about that game. We sit here as fans and we're like, well, we expect our teams to make the playoffs, and we all know how hard it is for the Browns to make the playoffs and how it's been since 99. But how difficult is it when you see these teams win week in and week out, or a team like Kansas City that can get back to the Super Bowl? I think it's difficult to get there, but I wonder what it's like from a player's perspective, especially one that spent as many years in the league as you did.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's such a grind. You know, you start the season basically in May, April, if you want to count workouts. And then this thing goes all the way into February. I mean, it's a grind. And in between that grind, you have everything that we've experienced in the last 3 or 4 years of this league has, everything from injuries. They had to deal with COVID. You know, they have to deal with, you know, transition of guys worrying about their contract, you know, thinking about the teams. I mean, there's so many factors that come into play. But I think at the end of the day, Andy, you look at the teams that have consistently been here, Kansas City, you know, Cincinnati the last 2 years, you know, in the AFC Championship, the Super Bowl. And now you look at Philadelphia. I mean, these are teams that had phenomenal quarterback play, consistent quarterback play. So I think it is a very difficult thing. If you ask Cincinnati Bengals, you know, they look at them, you know, they thought they'd get back to the Super Bowl. They did not. It's a grind. Now they got to start all over. But at the end of the day, if you have a top five, top seven quarterback, you're going to always put your team in a position to have an opportunity to get there. But it is a very, very big grind. That's why you rarely see teams in the NFL win back-to-back Super Bowls.
Dave Zastadil joining us, former Browns punter. We heard, you know, a lot this year. Okay, Mike Prefer's future as special teams coordinator, that special teams aren't doing what they're supposed to do, blah, 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 blah. I think when you look at an offensive coordinator, you can say, well, are you scoring points or you have putting up a lot of yards? Defensive coordinator, are you giving up big plays or are you giving up a lot of points? Dave, you would know better than anybody. What does a special teams coordinator do to stand out as a special teams coordinator? Because in theory, you would think it would be, well, does your punter punt the ball well? Does your field goal kicker make kickers? And do your return guys return kicks? I would think special teams coordinator is the toughest position of those three coordinator jobs to judge.
It's a very difficult position to be in as a coach. And I'll tell you, before I get into that answer, is especially you look at preseason games, right? You know, you got guys all over the place, guys trying to make the team. You have to worry about substitutions. Substitutions, the first part of this is the preseason, is a nightmare for special teams coach. You got guys not knowing if they're on the second, third team, guys trying to make plays on the field, and then, oh, shoot, I got to go in there and field goal. The preseason is a nightmare for special teams coaches, first of all. But when you get into the season, you can really never judge a special teams coach by how the kicker or punter perform. Those guys either drafted, signed in free agency, and it's an individual position. There's not a lot of special teams coaches that really understand technique of kicking. They do over time. Because of working with really good field goal kickers and punters, they've learned what these guys do. They learn how they practice. They learn what to look for in their technique. And so they become educated on what to look for that specific kicker and punter. So they can help them along through film and talk with them. I experienced that myself. But really what you look for in a special teams coach is, you know, how are the penalties? You know, is the scheme working? Are they giving up big plays? And then if they are giving up big plays, the special teams coach, a lot of time, have been in these meetings. The scheme was right. They know what to do. And a player, you know, either got selfish, got out of their lane, they blocked somebody in the back, and you get in this, you know, special teams coaches meeting and our teams meeting, they just get land blasted. But, you know, special teams coaches are very hard to judge. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of good ones that have been fired just because of how the team has performed, and maybe they didn't have the players. What I mean by that is you're allocated players as a special teams unit that has to fill in backup defensive backs, backup linebackers. If you are overloaded or deficient in some of those positions, it puts the special teams in a tough spot. So, you know, there's certain teams that spend a lot of time on special teams. There's some teams that don't spend as much as other teams. But the special teams coach is a very hard thing to judge. Now, I can tell you Coach Prefer has been in the league a long time. I've played against him. I've known him. He worked me out of college. He is a very, very good special teams coach. Why would he become the assistant head coach at times in the past if he didn't know the game, know the rules, know the situation? So, you know, he took a lot of heat this year. And, you know, hey, listen, this isn't the first time he's probably had that. But at the end of the day, these fans have to understand you got a very, very experienced, good special teams coach here in Cleveland.
What do you want to see him do here in free agency? What can they do? I mean, because the draft seems so, I don't know. You know, we had a conversation about the draft today and how do we talk about it and where are we going with this thing. And, you know, when you have a second round pick, it's so hard to try to narrow. Not like you want to watch the Senior Bowl to say, oh, that guy didn't play good. We'll have a chance for him. You know, it's weird.
Yeah, the Deshaun Watson was such a bittersweet, you know, signing because, you know, if he gets back to the player that we know he can be, or we hope he can be, then you're okay with giving up those draft picks. But at the same time, when the draft comes, you understand that first-round draft picks are the foundations of your future, and they're the way you build teams. So I think when you look at the draft, I think, first of all, the team, you know, has, Andrew Berry and his staff will do a good job restructuring contracts, figuring out how to gain cap space. He's always been good at that, and I think he'll be aggressive in that approach. But it really comes down to, you know, you're going to have your scouts. You're going to have your player personnel guys. They're going to fight for players. And you have to make sure that second round, you know, third, fourth, whatever we have after that, are players that can come in and contribute. If you miss on those, it's going to be a little bit of a problem. But I do think in free agency, especially with the Jim Schwartz signing, there's no secret. It's been talked about, you know, from Jim, Coach Schwartz, in the media. He will focus. He wants to focus on D linemen. And there's no question, especially when you watch that Atlanta Falcons game this year when they ran 14 times in a row, we couldn't stop that. So I think priority number one is stopping the run. You have to figure out a way to stop the run. And then you want to make sure your scouting department is dead certain on those draft picks, because those have to be solidified and those have to be big contributors coming into this year.
Right, let me ask you one other question, too, as I was thinking about the Senior Bowl. You played in the Senior Bowl, right?
I did, yeah.
Okay. And then you get drafted in, what, fourth round? How important is the Senior Bowl, and how does that work? Like, as a fan looking from the outside, you might watch that game this weekend and say, okay, here's the Senior Bowl, but especially for a punter or somebody who might be able to excel on special teams going to the next level, what's the significance and what's important for those players at the Senior Bowl, and how did the Senior Bowl help you?
Yeah, so first of all, the Senior Bowl is the most important bowl that you can go to. It is the number one. I mean, there's really not one that's close to it. So the biggest thing that people don't understand is they turn on the TV and they watch the Senior Bowl. The scouts pretty much all leave by the time that game happens. So the most important thing about the Senior Bowl is the week of practice. That's what they want to see, the one-on-one matchups, how the quarterbacks throw the ball, how the receivers make their cuts, how the defensive backs, you know, how they break on the ball. They're judged, I'd say 95% on how the week of practice goes. The game comes, and yeah, they go and have fun, but you know, it's more of a fun game. Guys haven't played together. There may be a handful of plays they call. So the week of practice is the most important. As a punter, kicker, same thing. You know, you're out there, you're kicking the ball, you're in special teams practices, you're showing them what you can do. And really they're there just to see how your leg is, how your consistency is, because, you know, I think you have pretty decent weather down in Mobile during that time. But the Senior Bowl is definitely the premier bowl. And I think what you find in the past is there's guys, especially on the line, defensive ends, rushing girls, that are really dominating one way or the other, and they open scouts' eyes to go, hey, we've seen this guy on film, and he showed what he can do on the film. We're seeing it live now. He just dominated Alabama's right guard and this or tackle, and this guy's from a small school in Indiana. I mean, that's what they do. And I think that's how guys really leapfrog and really, you know, gain some value in the draft. And that's why sometimes you see in a first, second, third round, guys are, wait, where'd he come from? But they found out he had an unbelievable Senior Bowl practice. So the practice is the key of the Senior Bowl.
Dave, I'm going to take you into punter's paradise here, okay?
All right.
In Major League Baseball, the number forever was, you know, 61, right? Roger Maris hit 61 homers. Before that, it was Babe Ruth. That was with 60. It was the number to chase. If you're an NFL punter, somehow Sammy Baugh averaged 51 yards a punt back in 1940, and that was untouched. And averages went up. Your punt average went up, you know, throughout your career. I don't know why. Guys got better and everything else. But this year, Ryan Stonehouse of Tennessee obliterated Sammy Baugh's punting record. He averaged over 53 yards a punt. And he's like 5'11", 185 pounds. What has happened with punters where, and now a number of guys, you know, Corey Bohorquez here, you know, averaged 50 yards a punt in Buffalo a couple of years ago. What's going on? Why are punters punting the ball like crazy? And after, 80 years, Sammy Baugh's record goes bye-bye by almost 2 yards a punt.
That's a good question, but I will, before I answer that, Jeff, I will tell you that those are good stats and those are great numbers, but the number that always is important is what is their net average. And I believe the record holder for that is Johnny Hecker at 46.3 or 46.7, I think in the 2020 year, is the most important stat. So the gross punting is great. You get the ball far, but it's that net. So I'm going to answer this question because if you look at the net yardage punting stats of punters, when I was in the league, it was unheard of, and I don't think it ever happened that anybody averaged a net 40-yard punt season. Never happened. I know we got close, 38, 39.7. Well, once, you know, these young guys started coming in, you're seeing 40, 42, 43, Johnny Hecker, 46, and you're going, their net average now is probably higher than even a gross yarding average for a season back in the, you know, mid-2000s. There's a couple of reasons for that, I think. Number one is guys are just getting bigger. They get stronger. There's better technology to help you train to keep your body healthy. Number two, when I first got in the league, they took these K-balls, and they, you know, because of there was a punter kicker way back in the day that used to rub the balls down extremely, you know, really down, got that that pigskin really rubbed in, and they put in a washer and dryer, rub it down, get all the wax off it, and made the ball extremely soft. Well, the NFL came in and says, you know what? Nope, we can't do that anymore. Guys are kicking the ball way out of the end zone. And they put a rule on you could only work these balls for, I don't know, 10 minutes for the game. So in 2002 to 2004, you know, if you even look at my stats, for example, they were not that great. And you're hitting this ball and it's like a rock. Well, then they started kind of, guys figured it out. They would hire a guy. They said, okay, you've got 45 minutes for a game now. And we used to pay assistant managers, you know, hundreds of dollars to spend 45 minutes to break down these balls, get them as soft as you can, get the leather off there, which soften the ball. You break in the edges, and that's why you see field goal kickers, you know, take that edge of that ball and kick off and put it into the tee. So they try to make this ball as soft as it possibly could, and then you started seeing these averages go back up. And that's really a quick history lesson on why from 2000, 2002 on, these stats have gotten a lot higher.
Outstanding. That's a man who knows his business right there, Dave. Thank you.
That's
great.
Some good stuff there.
I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no problem. I'm sure they found out new ways to do it today. But, yeah, if you look at a K-ball compared to a quarterback ball, it's a lot easier to kick.
That's fabulous. Dave, thank you very much for being with us, buddy.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, guys, have a good one.
Talk to you soon.
Dave Zastadil, former Browns punter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.